do have Proverbs open in front of you. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 10, verse 9. And there's a number of Proverbs that will come up throughout this evening. They'll all be on the screen behind me or on your screen at home, below me or around me or somewhere on the screen, I hope. So what is integrity? What is it to be a person of integrity? I guess most of us want to be known as that, but I wonder whether we struggle to really articulate what biblical integrity is. And maybe when we think of integrity, we limit it. We think of integrity only to do with money or how we handle others' money. Or we think of integrity in the realms of business and work and our dealings there. Or that integrity is important for leaders, but not so key for me. But Proverbs says the righteous, the believer, has integrity. That it's for all of us who are professing faith in Christ. So what is biblical integrity? First then, what is biblical integrity? Well, Proverbs 10, verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Or Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Or Proverbs 13, 6. Righteousness guards the person of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Now, when you look up the definition of integrity in the dictionary, it says things like uprightness and honesty, purity, entireness, wholeness. And then as you tie that with the three proverbs we read, you begin to see it's to do with, well, consistency. So Proverbs 10, verse 9 talks about walking securely, walking in a consistent manner, because you're not being poured into the crooked paths that are found out and punished. You're walking in the right direction. Or Proverbs 11, 3, it's upright, not duplicit. Duplicity is being double-minded. It's that kind of hypocrisy. It's one thing here and different over there. But the person with integrity, there's a consistency of uprightness and honesty to what they believe and hold to God's purposes, and it's that which then guides their behavior and how they live. Or Proverbs 13, 6, righteousness, it's righteousness, not wickedness. It's righteousness that guards them in the sense of it's that which shapes them, that which they hold to, what they know to be true. The fear, the word of the God in the context of Proverbs is to do with doing what is right and just, not wickedness and foolishness. And this idea of guiding and guarding this in Proverbs 11 and 13, it reflects that sense of entireness. Implication, it shapes all of life, consistent in what we do and in how we behave. So if you put all of that together, you get the idea of biblical integrity is that of a person whose behavior is consistent, whether they're at home or whether they're at work, that they're upright, they're honest, they're blameless, they do what is right and just. They love what God loves. They hate what God hates. They seek God's ways, which guides and guards them and guides and guards their behavior and their words and their conduct wherever they are. In other words, it's to do with character. A character that's being shaped by God and that's consistent in line with what they believe about God in every aspect of life. And it's striking to think who is described in the Bible as being a person of integrity. Strikingly, three people are called people of integrity. One is a man called Hananiah in Nehemiah 7, verse 2. We're not told much about him. Apart from this, he was appointed commander of the citadel as a man with integrity and feared God more than most people do. But the one who is really known for his integrity in the Bible is, other than Jesus, Job. Job 2, verse 3. In spite of all that happened to Job, remember that first chapter, all that horrificness, God then says of him, he's maintained his integrity, blameless and upright. And his wife recognized it as well and told him to stop being so having such integrity and curse God, 2 verse 9. But Job's character, who he was, didn't change depending on his circumstances. He maintained his uprightness and consistency of character, honesty, righteousness, blamelessness. We know he wasn't sinless, but his character was such that he was known for his integrity, his honesty, his uprightness, his doing what is right and just, as we're seeing this morning. He loved what God loved and he hated what God hates. And even in the midst of pain, even as he tried to wrestle and understand that integrity maintained. And of course, who's the other person who's known for their integrity? The Lord Jesus. Matthew 22, 16, the Pharisees say to him, we know you're a man of integrity. Jesus' reputation was such that his character was consistent. He was known for honesty and uprightness and righteousness and doing what is right and just, and he was sinless. There are others who have spoken of having integrity in the Bible, like David. Integrity for his care of the sheep. But it's Job who stands alone alongside Jesus as a man of integrity, whose character was shaped by what he believed, and he lived it even in the midst of suffering. Now, it's worth saying there are those in the world who will have integrity. They'll do things with an openness and an honesty in their business dealings. And that shouldn't surprise us. After all, they're made in the image of God and his common grace is at work. So we're going to see people do what is right. We're going to see people concerned for justice and to be honest. And they'll have integrity. But the difference between biblical integrity and worldly is the motive. The worldly do it in the end for self-gain. It may be financial or material gain. You know, their business does better because of their reputation. It might just be that they like having a good reputation in and of itself. It's what they kind of stake their life on, shape their identity by. But in the end, it'll be a self-gain. And they'll possibly give it up, their integrity, if it costs too much. For the believer, biblical integrity is much more about reflecting the God we serve, to live consistent with what we profess and who we love. And to have such a character requires a new heart. It requires us to have put our trust in Jesus and to be filled with the Spirit and to cry on him for help to live in such a manner. Because our sinful natures are always waging war and seeking us to cover our sin and be selfish. So we need help to live in such a way, to be upright and honest and open and consistent in this. I can't do it on my own. Naturally, I don't want to unless it brings me something. But the biblical person of integrity, the gospel person, lives this way even when it costs them. Even when it hurts, even when it's hard to do so, even when the path is not easy, like Job, like Jesus. And Proverbs reveals that living this way will bring hatred. So Proverbs 29, verse 10, we read, "The bloodthirsty hate a person of integrity, seek to kill the upright." Of course, the world hates the person who looks too good and too righteous. Because when you're basing your identity on your own self-goodness and in comparing yourself to others to kind of work out where you are, the last thing you want is too good a person. I mean, Job's friends couldn't believe he had not sinned. The world hates people with integrity. So what does living with integrity look like in the detail? Now, as you read through Proverbs, the word integrity only appears in the 4 verses we've looked at so far. But those ideas that define it, that of honesty and dishonesty and being right and just, flow throughout. And as you look at those kind of verses, they kind of circle around 3 big areas of life where you're going to really be defined for living with integrity. One is money. The other is truth and falseness, but in who we are and how we speak. And the third is doing what is right and just. So we're going to look at those three areas. So first then, people with biblical integrity are going to be honest in their dealings with money. And honest in their dealings with others' money. So 11 verse 1. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. 16, verse 11, honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. 20:23, the Lord detests differing weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. Now, this whole idea of scales and weights was in effect the currency of the age. And each weight often reflected an image like a duck or a turtle or a lion. And of course, the seller would sell their grain for the weight of a duck, and the price was, you know, per duck in weight, as it were. And what should have happened was that all those weights were consistent, so there was fairness. But the problem comes when the people start manipulating the weights. So if you were selling, you would make your weight a little heavier to get away with selling less grain. And if you were a buyer, you would make your weight a little lighter to gain more grain. But the dealings of weights and accuracy formed part of the Jewish law. So Leviticus 19:35 and Deuteronomy 25 forbid such cheating, stealing, because that's what it was. It's based on the eighth command, do not steal. And it's why throughout those proverbs you get that little refrain that all the weights in the bag are of the Lord's making. He detests it. Accuracy finds favor in him because such laws are from him. And of course, such behavior didn't reflect the Lord's character of justice and accuracy and honesty, hence why he detests such behavior, such injustice. And part of the reason, actually, why the Jews were exiles is in part because of such behavior. You only have to read the prophets that talk about their false weights and cheating ways. Because what the Lord likes is honesty, fairness, justice, accuracy in our dealings, not stealing, treating others with honor, not manipulating in order to gain selfishly for oneself. And the person of integrity, biblical integrity, wanting to reflect the Lord's character, loving what God loves and hating what God hates, reflects that. They're known for honest dealings, for seeking to honor people in how they buy and how they sell. Now, we don't use weights. Well, I don't, but some of you may. But are we accurate and honest in our dealings with others? Now, so you're undercharged in the shop. Do you make it a habit of letting the person know, or do you profit by their mistake? The person of integrity walks consistently, reflecting God's character, speaks up, and they'll make it right. Or if you're given too much change, do you speak up, or do you thank them and walk away? What about your tax returns or your expense claims? Are we honest and open and fair? Or do we take advantage of our expenses? Or in our dealings with people, negotiating prices, do you get what is fair or get as much out of them as you can? But it's these little areas where the Lord delights in fairness and honesty and justice and rightness. And as his people, we should be known for such behavior, living with integrity, reflecting him. The Lord is as concerned in those areas of our life as he is in others. People with integrity live consistent with what they know and who their God is. Or are you known for having integrity with your own money? So Proverbs 13:11, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Two ways of making money dishonestly, through theft or gambling or cheating others and get-rich-quick schemes and windfalls at the expense of others, or through hard work that gathers slowly, little by little. And often how we gain money will also reflect probably how we use money. The dishonest will have an easy come, easy go attitude, just spend on luxury speculations and legal ventures looking for that quick buck. The honest will be prudent and wise and generous and good stewards and thoughtful and honest, reflecting God's purposes. See, are we known as people of integrity, consistent in our behavior, in our use of money, in a way that reflects God's ways? And it's striking that Proverbs speaks about such things and tying it with integrity. Because how we use money is one of the key markers of what we love. what we love, what our hearts desire, what's important to us. And the person of integrity will be consistent in character. They'll reflect Christ as they use their money. Someone said, I think it was Luther, often the wallet is the last thing to be converted because it reveals my heart. But are we duplicit? You know, do we speak a good game, but it's not evident in our dealings or our use of money? Are we someone different at work to who we are at home? That the person with integrity, that they're known for honesty and openness in their dealings with others, but in their own use of money as well. Well, that's the first area. The second area that the proverb speaks about, it says people with integrity will be honest in who they are. So Proverbs 12:17. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. Or Proverbs 16:11, an honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. Or Proverbs 24:26, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Now, on first reading, your thoughts might immediately go to the kind of the courtroom scene. And of course, they speak into that about testifying honestly or falsely and based on the ninth commandment. And we've already seen the Proverbs on telling truth and lies and how we use our words. But actually, the application here goes far wider. See, the literal idea behind each of these Proverbs is that of the person who breathes truth or breathes lies. It goes to character. Two types of people. Those who are kind of open and honest and truthful, and there are those who hide and even deceive. Not just about situations or what they've done or not done, but how they present themselves, honestly or falsely. Now, to some degree, in our sinfulness, we all hide and deceive. We all want to present the best us. And we all want people to think well of us. So we don't want to reveal things that make us look bad or weak. But in doing so, we're not also open. We're not honest witnesses of who we are, but false witnesses in that sense, because we don't let people know the real us, what we really feel or what we really think, that we're struggling or that we're weak or that we're sad. Instead, we present an image of being sorted and happy and strong and happy families. So actually, we're not relating to people based on honesty and truth, but on an image that we present. Now, in the social media age, that's become even more so, hasn't it? As we make our profiles and statuses grander or better or more impressive, and there's a sense we're being false witnesses at times to who we truly are and our real struggles. We're not honestly representing ourselves. Then there's a sense of hypocrisy, duplicity, and deceit. There's a sense we're one thing online or one thing at church, but another in the flesh or at home. It's a false witness of who you are. It's not behaving with integrity. And Proverbs 11 verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright guide them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Because duplicity and deceit destroys. It destroys the individual because you're having to constantly live with this tension of living up to the image you're seeking to present, but it destroys relationships. Because you can't have a true open relationship because people don't know the real you. Relationships ultimately based on lies and deceit and falseness. There's no integrity to it, but honest answers are like kisses on the lips. They bring relationship. They draw us closer. And the person of integrity reflecting God's character, character of honesty and truth and openness, a God of relationship, the one who reveals himself to us, the one who's made himself known and comes in the Lord Jesus and who breathes truth and revelation and relationship. The person of integrity is going to reflect that. They're going to be consistent with what they believe. And what is that? That actually we're no longer fearful of what others think of us, Because our value and our worth is in our identity with Jesus. And our worst bits have been dealt with by Jesus on the cross. And we're deeply loved and accepted and fully known by him. Which means I can be open and honest with others. Not afraid or ashamed. I'm Jesus's. Integrity says I live in light of that. Consistence, I'm not going to hide and cover and present a false witness. Hiding's a result of the fall. Hiding is what Adam and Eve did after they sinned. They brought false witness and they deceit and cover. But those in Jesus were free to be honest witnesses. We don't need to present a false image, to breathe lives, to cover up. We can walk consistently as one who is before God, upright and blameless, which frees me to communicate honestly and truthfully to others rather than pretend. See, I don't need to pretend I'm strong when actually I'm weak. I don't need to pretend I'm joyful when actually I'm feeling sad. I don't need to put on that I'm fixed and sorted when actually I'm struggling. And actually I can admit, you know what, I'm feeling sad, I feel anxious, I'm angry, I'm proud. I'm struggling with alcohol, I'm struggling with porn. And not just feel, look, I've got to present a happy face. I think particularly sometimes at church, we can put on a face, an image. And the truth is we're presenting a false image. We're not being honest witnesses to who we really are or the struggles that we're really facing. But the person of integrity is honest with who they are and how they feel. Now, we've got to do that with biblical wisdom. I'm not saying we need to go and reveal all our darkest things to everyone all the time. And some of us are going to have to work harder at being open and expressing this than others because of temperament. But we're not to hide. Not to hide from ourselves or from each other or seek to be or present ourselves as something different to who we are. Either online or in person. So the next time you post something online, is it an honest witness of who you are and how you feel? And when someone asks you physically, in the physical presence, as it were, how you are, will you answer with integrity or falseness? Or will you pretend and cover and hide? Or will you be consistent with who you are as one who is in Jesus and who can admit, actually, I'm finding things hard. I'm struggling. I'm wrestling. People with integrity are honest witnesses, consistent with what they believe. I'm Jesus's, I'm safe, I'm absolutely assured. I can therefore be open. And people with integrity, lastly, the third area, are honest to do what is right and just for others. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A person with integrity, seeking to reflect God in their character, is more concerned with doing that which is right and just than they are to just uphold religious activity. That was the problem with the Pharisees, wasn't it? They weren't people of integrity because they looked like they were doing what was pleasing to the Lord. They looked like they were upholding the law. They did the sacrifices, but they didn't do it consistently. They didn't do actually that which was right and just from a right heart, so much so that they killed the Son of God. But the person of integrity, they're not concerned with playing the religious game or turns up to church or just attends community group and says a few prayers but then lives a life that has no reflection of who Jesus is, of obedience or doing what is right and just and doing what God loves and opposing that which God hates. The person of integrity is more concerned to uphold God's purposes and plans than they are just to be religious or go to church. And what is it that God is concerned with? What was doing right and just ways look like? Well, firstly, I mean, not having favorites. See Proverbs 18:5? It's not good to be partial to the wicked and so deprive the innocent of justice. And again, on first reading, you might think courtroom, showing partiality to a friend who is wicked rather than to the innocent. But again, the application is wider. Think showing favor in James 2, that reading we heard. And the words James uses, partiality and favor, are the Greek words for the Hebrew words that are used here. And the idea of deprive in the Hebrew in 18:5 is to thrust aside. So the person who shows favor to one thrusts aside another. And generally one shows favor because there is self-gain. James 2, you show favor to the rich because you think you gain something from them that you can't get from the poor. And instead of honoring all or both, you favor and manipulate one for your own purposes, thrusting aside another. But the person of integrity, who's seeking to do what is right and just, honors all as those who are made in the image of God, honors both the rich and the poor, manipulating neither for their own gain, but honoring and loving both selflessly. So their love and honor, the working class and the middle class and the upper class, they're not favor, they're not show partiality, but they love all equally, just as we saw Job did this morning. And like the Lord who loves all. This is loving your neighbor language, whoever your neighbor is. And we might just need to repent of biased attitudes that we have towards others. Be that of a different class to us, or color to us, or race to us. Maybe it's attitudes based on stereotypes. This person looks uneducated, this person looks educated, I'll talk with them. But walking with integrity, living consistently with what we believe and the God we serve, will mean doing what is right and just, loving all and honoring all. It will mean repenting of biases and moving towards all, not favoring any. That's integrity, that's love. And doing what is right and just and living integrity, loving what God loves and hating what God hates, means concern for those that the Lord is concerned for. So Proverbs 29, verse 7. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no concern. And we cannot claim to love God and not love others, not love all, not be concerned with injustice and wrong. Because God is concerned about such people. And the person of integrity who loves what God loves and hates what God hates recognizes that often in our society and world, it is the poor and the weak and the vulnerable, the widow, the orphan, the elderly, the young who are mistreated or who are treated unjustly and cruelly and abusively. And walking with integrity must mean concern and action for such folk. That we live what we believe about people made in the image of God. Precious to be honored that God's concern for such folk. It's striking that both Job and Jesus were known for their care of such people. And they're the two people who are talked about as people of integrity. Integrity will seek to address through prayer, through giving, maybe through direct action as we can. But it doesn't just ignore or pretend it's not there, and bias the strong or the rich, and get on with playing church and being religious. You seek to do what is right and just. God detests religion. So as a church, are we known as defenders of the weak and the vulnerable? Are we known individually as such people who stand up for the one who's picked on or who is vulnerable in our workplace or our school? Or do we hide? Being a person of integrity means we're concerned to do what is right and just wherever evil, biased, wrong, injustice occurs. Not ignoring, not just carrying on with our church services as if nothing is wrong, but seeking to reflect our God, concern for those made in his image, consistent in our behavior and language towards all. See, do people look at us and say, they are a people of integrity? They live what they believe. They don't just look after their own. They do love others, not favoring any. They're not biased, but they seek to do what is right and just. They're not just religious folk going through the motions. They really do live it. That's what it is to be a person of integrity. Not just talking a good game, but living a good game. In light of the gospel, in light of what Jesus has done for us. See, to the world look at us and say, you can see our care for others. You can see how they conduct their business and use their money and in their relationships with one another that are deep and meaningful and open. They really do live what they believe. There's a consistency to them, an honesty to them. There's an integrity about them, just like the Lord Jesus. And we'll need his help to live this way. Grateful that we have new hearts, that we're able to live this way. But you and I can't live this way on our own. We need his help daily. But do you want to live this way? Do you want to be a person of integrity who lives out what they believe in everyday life?